Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today is Friday, February 4th, 2011. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. Remember, you can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. How's everybody doing today? Wow, it's chilly out there. I know, yes, it is February. Yes, it is normally cold in February. There have been some record numbers of, record amounts of snow that have fallen in places in the Midwest. I also understand in places in the South, you all are getting some ice. So do be careful. I hope that many of you won't be housebound too long. And of course, some of that snow is coming eastward. It's going to be hitting, I guess, the northeast, the sort of the upper northeast, north of New York, probably tomorrow and Sunday. But do stay warm, stay dry, and stay safe out there. Well, it is February. A lot of things are going on. I've been looking around and been getting some emails that people have been sharing with me about events that they're involved in. And I'm really excited to see some really neat lectures that are taking place covering all kinds of topics. This being Black History Month, of course, it's not a surprise that there are so many. So let's get started and take a look. I had gotten an interesting piece of email from Arkansas, and there's some neat lectures that are being held at the Arkansas State House Museum. They're having a series of lunches. I think they're called Brown Bag Lunch Lectures. You bring your own lunch. They do provide beverages for you. And one is interesting because I'd never heard of this. And this is something, it's taking place next Tuesday on the 8th of February. It's called Arkansas's Anarchy Law and People of Color, an Unusual Case from 1934. This is from noon to 1 p.m. As I said, it's at the Arkansas State House Museum in Little Rock. Well, this is different. Listen to this. This is presented by Ken Barnes, who's done some remarkable research. I'm familiar with some of his research on the Back to Africa movement that was taking place in the state of Arkansas in the 1880s. But listen to this case, which was called, as I said, Arkansas Anarchy Law and People of Color. Apparently, there was a group of Asian organizers who went to Arkansas. Actually, they came to northeastern Arkansas during the summer of 1934. Their goal was to recruit members for a movement that was structured to encourage African Americans specifically. This was not involving blacks in other parts of the Americas. This is strictly United States. But to encourage black citizens in that part of the state to look to Japan as the protector of the, quote, colored races, unquote. Apparently, they were targeting the communities that had been very active in the Marcus Garvey movement in the 1920s. This is so fascinating. Very, very interesting. And I encourage you to take some time out and go listen to that lecture if you're in the Little Rock area. It sounds very fascinating. Ken Barnes has done remarkable things. I mean, as I said, his work is well known. He's a professor at the University of Central Arkansas and has just uncovered really unique history. I learned from him how probably the largest geographic source of immigrants, not immigrants, but immigrants with an E, who left this country going to Liberia, apparently a very large number of them came from the state of Arkansas, and he talked about that in his book, Journey of Hope. Interesting scholar. You know, if you're there, it's free. Bring your own lunch. Beverages will be provided. So I think it's just fascinating. Also coming up, they have another brown bag lunch coming up a week or so later on the 15th. And this is kind of different. Arkansas R&B and the state's Forgotten Rhythm. This is Arkansas again. The state's Forgotten Rhythm and Blues Legacy. And this is going to look at who some of the great R&B people from the state. And a lot of times people really sort of overlook the state of Arkansas, or sometimes they sort of look at people who left the state. I think the presenter, Stephen Koch, calls them Arkansas exports. But he's going to be looking at people as such as Louis Jordan, Johnny Taylor, Henry Glover, and some other people who have some ties to the state. Fascinating, fascinating. And one thing that caught my attention, you know, many of us who are active genealogists, many of us are mature adults. And by mature, I'm not speaking emotionally, but I am speaking in terms of age, chronological age. Well, you know, many of us begin this when we are certainly in our in the midst of our adult life. Some of us begin it when our parents have already left or our elders have gone, so we sometimes have challenges. But one of the programs that is going to take place also, again, I'm still talking about the Arkansas State House Museum. They're having a little beginnings toddler program. This is for Black History Month. Little Beginnings Toddlers. And in other words, this program is going to be reading particularly children's stories through that really pertain to learning about the world. They're going to be reading This Snowy Day by Ezra Jack Keats, Colorful World by C.C. Winans, Keith Thomas and Alan Love. They're going to be learning topic about really just sort of culture through hands-on activities, topic-related music. And this is really for young children, just to plant some seeds in terms of the wonderful things that are out there that were left behind by people long ago who came before them. But it's just planting a seed. And I just love that idea. You know, we need to start planting seeds in not just the generation behind us, but the generation after next, our grandchildren or great nieces and great nephews. We've got to plant those seeds now. Also coming up, there's going to be an interesting lecture looking at William Hines Furbush, who was a slave born in Kentucky and really educated every place, Tennessee as well as in Ohio. But this man came, who was a former slave, came to political prominence in Arkansas in the late 1800s. And he served in both parties, Republican and Democratic parties. And kind of a unique individual whose career spanned everything, Reconstruction, the era of disenfranchisement, and certainly more. But it's an interesting lecture still at the State House Museum. As I said, you know, keep your eyes on that. And if you're in Little Rock, by all means, make it to that. I'm very excited to see, coming from a neighboring state, Oklahoma, also one of my states, the Oklahoma Historical Society is presenting a program. And this is going to be looking at African American troops in the Civil War in Indian Territory. I'm really excited about that. We're talking February the 12th, but it's going to take place not in Oklahoma City. This is going to take place in Fort Gibson. So if you live in anywhere near Tulsa, Muskogee, Fort Smith, Arkansas, any place in western Arkansas, eastern Oklahoma, you're not far from Fort Gibson. By all means, try and make this event. It's Saturday the 12th at 1 p.m. They're going to be looking at, and that's an era in which I do study a lot. I research Black soldiers who served in the Civil War, not just in the United States Colored Troops and the Kansas Colored, who were later redesignated as U.S. Colored Troops, but I also research Black soldiers who served in the Indian Home Guards. And the Indian Home Guards were also Union regiments organized in Kansas. And I'll put a contact phone number for you, so if you have questions, but it's the 12th of February at 1 p.m. in Fort Gibson. Also coming up on that same day, we're jumping out of the middle of the country and we're coming eastward a bit. There's going to be the Central Maryland chapter of the African American Historical and Genealogical Society is presenting on the same day. is presenting on the same day I guess it's an African cultural celebration and a libation ceremony. And it's kind of fascinating. It's going to take place at St. John Baptist Church in Columbia, Maryland. So if you're in the Baltimore-Washington corridor, if you can make it to Columbia, Maryland on that day, I think you'll find it very interesting. As I said, their African libation ceremony in honor and celebrating Black History Month. It's from 11 to 1 p.m. And it is on a Saturday, and it is free of charge. So, of course, you can't get a better price than that. The 18th and 19th, this is kind of neat. I'm excited to see that there's actually going to be a conference taking place. We're leaving now the Mid-Atlantic, and we're jumping down south. And I'm talking about a genealogy conference. The Black Belt African American Genealogical and Historical Society has a conference that's coming up the 18th and the 19th. And this is really neat, looking at a number of issues, and particularly we don't talk enough about the fact that there is a very strong presence in Canada. And it's going to be interesting because I think that we don't always think of people who are part of the diaspora as being Canadian. Well, one of the presenters has links to Canada with origins in Alabama and Kentucky. And it's going to be very interesting, I think. Now, they're going to be presenting actually two stories of African American history. And I think it's just really kind of neat that there's going to be someone speaking about their, well, Canadian now family, but that had roots in Alabama and Kentucky slaves. And the speaker is Deanna Bowen. And she is a descendant, Canadian descendant of slaves from both, as I said, Alabama and Kentucky. And Deanna is going to be the keynote speaker at the Saturday luncheon. And this is just going to be, I think, a neat kind of thing. She is an artist and a lecturer at the University of Toronto. And she's also produced a film, an oral history film called Some of the Parts, What Can Be Named. And she's going to really talk about her ancestors who were prairie pioneers of Amber Valley, Alberta, Canada. Now, I know many of us don't know anything outside of our own country. Where is Alberta? Although she's in Ontario where she lectures. But Alberta is pretty far west. Pull out your map and take a look and see. Well, Alberta really is located. It's prairie country, beautiful, beautiful prairie country. Well, people did leave parts of this country and did end up in the prairies, and the prairies also of Canada. Should be very, very interesting. She's also going to be discussing a new work that's been really sort of inspired by Canadian responses to the 1965 Voting Rights Act from Selma to Montgomery. And, you know, we often just sort of think about what's happening here, but there are other people who are watching and who are aware of things that are taking place with their neighbors to the south. Well, we need to pay attention to our neighbors and our sisters and brothers to the north. Also, there's going to be a reception at the same conference. Again, in case you've forgotten, I am talking about the 5th Annual Black Belt Genealogy Conference. And there's going to be a discussion and a reception, rather, after they're going to show the documentary, The Language That You Cry In. And this is going to really look at some detective work that emerged from a 5-line song that was sung by a Gullah woman who lived in coastal Georgia in the 1930s. Well, this song actually connected people to 18th century, which is the 1700s, Sierra Leone in Africa. Wilson Moran, who's a descendant of that particular Georgia woman, her name was Amelia Dowley, is going to be speaking and presenting that film As I said, it's called The Language You Cry In. I have seen that film, and it is very, very moving, and just a sort of an incredible kind of thing. Well, registration for the entire conference, which will include Friday night's open reception, as well as the documentary presentations, everything, which will also include the awards luncheon. Everything is $35, and there's even a reduced rate for students and senior citizens. So you can't get much better than that. That's one of the best prices in town. They're going to have a number of discussions on how to use the internet. They're going to discuss DNA. They're going to be discussing, of course, methods of researching your history and heritage from the Black Belt. And of course, anyone who has an interest in the 12 counties that comprise Alabama's Black Belt should think of attending that event. I have a link for you to, where you can get some more information about that. Coming up here in this area, I'm in the greater Baltimore, Washington area, the National Archives has some interesting things that are going on, some lectures, and they're just kind of neat. There's something coming up this coming Tuesday at the National Archives. There's going to be a discussion of emancipation and the struggle of equality in Washington, D.C. And there are many of you out there from Washington. This is going to take place this coming Tuesday, February 8th, and it's going to be at noon. You must enter the archives on the Constitution Avenue side of the building. And the book, An Example for All the Land, is the name of the book, and the author, Kate Masur, is going to be discussing what was going on in Washington during the period of Reconstruction. That same day, but later in the day, in the evening, there's going to be an interesting lecture. It's called Spies and Conspiracy, Espionage in the Civil War. Now, this is taking place on F Street Northwest, and it's at the International Spy Museum. But it's going to be looking at some of the individuals who were involved in intelligence. And we don't hear about that. Many of us know, yes, Harriet Tubman was a spy, but do we ever hear anything else about who else was involved, who was African American? Well, one of the speakers for this event is Ken Daigler, who used to work with the CIA, and he's written a book called Black Dispatches, African American Contributions to Union Intelligence During the Civil War. I'm sorry, that sounds so interesting. It's something we just don't hear enough about. So I do encourage you to look at that. Now, also taking place at the archives is the Records Book Group, and it's part of the Know Your Records program, and this one is looking at the book Escape on the Pearl, The Heroic Bid for Freedom on the Underground Railroad. And many of you have heard the story of individuals who did make an effort to make this escape, and this was an effort to flee to freedom. And Mary Kay Ricks is the author of that particular book, and there's going to be a discussion of the book. Now, I don't know if the author's going to be there or not, but I know that there's a book discussion. And of course, you know, you've heard me talk over the last year or so about the fact that some records are being released that are reflecting emancipation records out of the District of Columbia. Well, there's going to be a presentation. Damani Davis, who's an archivist, is really going to be talking about how to access those records. And this is part of the Beyond the Basic archival research skills. And this is always held on the third Wednesday of the month. This is going to be on the 16th of February, and it's at 11 a.m. You enter on the Pennsylvania Avenue side, the research side. So a number of things certainly are going on that are pretty exciting. A little bit up the road from Washington, going up north of Maryland, in fact, to Delaware, Dover, Delaware. There's a program that it's held. It's called First Saturdays Program. And this is kind of neat because this is going to be part of a series, well, the first Saturday events that they have, but they're going to be looking at Civil War Era Delaware. And what's going to be presented, and actually that's going to go on well, first Saturday. Gee, that's tomorrow. Syl Wolford began researching the Civil War some time ago. And, oh, pardon me. He is interested, of course, in Delaware history, and he became interested in the fact that there were many black men from Delaware who joined, and I guess this is when the soldiers were moving southward, they ended up joining the 54th Massachusetts Infantry. And so he's noted that many Delawareans did join, and is going to be sharing those stories at the Delaware Public Archives. And again, the discussion in general is United States Colored Troops from Delaware in the Civil War. This is an event 10:30 tomorrow. And he himself admits that he didn't know in the very beginning that there were quite a few black Delawareans that served in the Civil War. And apparently, there were over 1,000 men from that small state. And most people don't know this history, and he's going to be available tomorrow at 10:30 at the Delaware Public Archives. I want to point out that some information coming from the Atlanta area, jumping back down the coast a bit, at the end of the month, the National Archives branch in the Atlanta area, in conjunction with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, will sponsor a presentation, which is really a Black Family History Symposium. It's called Continuing the Journey of Generations, which is a Black Family History Symposium and Luncheon from 9 to 1. So it's not an all-day thing, but it's a good half-day program. This is in Morrow, Georgia, at the National Archives on Jonesboro Road. And what's going to be new, because they've had a session like this in the past, what's going to be new is that there will be some research and activities for young people. The keynote address will be delivered by Michael Henderson, who is the first African-American from Georgia who received membership in the Sons of the American Revolution, the National Society of Sons of the American Revolution. And it is free, but they do want you to pre-register. So I have some links for you to go and get a few more details and how to register for that. Also, I will mention that the Atlanta chapter of the Afro-American Historical and Genealogical Society, it's going to be hosting the very next day their own chapter meeting at 3 p.m. at Auburn Avenue Research Library. And the guest speaker will be Professor Larry Spruill on Ancestral Beginnings, Diasporas, and Genealogy. Well, there's some news that's come forth from Ancestry. There's some, and this is kind of neat. I'm glad to hear that there's some new records. I'm always excited to hear when there are new records available to research. Ancestry.com has announced just a huge collection of new African American related documents. And we're talking about records such as slave emancipation records from Washington, D.C. So some of the things in that lecture going on to the archives are coming up. Well, some of these are also online, so this is great. Slave manifests from Savannah, Georgia, between 1811 and 1860. Even though the importation of slaves was banned pretty early in the 1800s, slaves were still being smuggled in, and there's some slave manifests that are going to be there. Slave owner petitions out of Washington are part of the collection. Mississippi slave certificates out of Adams County, Mississippi. This is kind of unique, and this is covering only a short time between 1858 and 1861. So if you have ancestry or ties to Adams County, Mississippi, this might interest you. U.S. Colored Troop military service records, we know about those, but a lot of people don't know they're also an ancestry. Slave manifests out of New Orleans, exciting things to see, and some slave narratives as well, so that are now part of Ancestry's collection. So I'm really happy to hear about that. It's just really kind of a neat thing. end of February also, take note that Tony Burrows is going to be giving a presentation at the Greenville, South Carolina Library. That's the end of the month. You know, he's, of course, the author of Black Roots, A Beginner's Guide to Tracing African American Family Tree. And, of course, many of us have seen him on various programs on television from PBS and the Discovery Channel, so he's going to be speaking. So quite a few things are taking place. One of the things that I want to encourage you all to do is to start to pay attention and sort of keep your own calendars as well. There is going to be, by the way, a new calendar coming up on the AfroGenius.com website. So you'll be able to go there and take a look at what events are, but also to take note of certain things, conferences, institutes coming up. There have been several. I mentioned several last week that you really want to weigh. And, of course, some are, you know, they tap into your wallet a little bit, so you have to do a little bit of balancing. But also take note that there are a lot of things that are going on for free and to really balance them. And I hope that as you look at some events, some are not just fun to go to, but I think that you want to start thinking about educating yourself and paying close attention to how you can really sharpen your skills. And one of the things that I have come to appreciate, is to take note of the individuals who are not just sharing their personal research, but are sharing methods and methodology. And if anything, I think more than just the fact that there are these events that are there, you want to select certain events that are going to give you some new strategies and to just sort of ask the question, is this going to benefit my skill set? And some truly are that are going on out there, and I'm really excited to see that there are a number of events and institutes that are addressing these skills. One of the things that I know, which is one reason that I participate in and have chosen to go again to the Sanford Institute, is the fact that I'm going to learn some skills that I haven't learned before. I play around with the computer all the time. You're listening to me coming from a computer podcast. But beyond that, I've come to realize that there's some interesting strategies to take a lot of things and enhance what I do. I visit cemeteries a lot, and I document cemeteries. Well, there's some new things that I've learned that I can do to make it available to a wider audience. I like to listen to how certain individuals put things together in terms of not necessarily just a display, but how they're presenting the information to get others curious enough to take a look. And these are things that, I guess the word that I wanted to emphasize is just, is something going to be strategy rich, I guess is the word I want to use. And by that, I'm just simply saying it's time to determine, are you going to come away with some interesting facts? Are you also going to come away from an event with something that you hadn't tried before and with a desire to now go and implement it yourself? You know, many times we can just become passive and sort of just be receivers, so to speak, where we're receiving information, real nice, interesting, chew it up, leave, digest it, and go home and do nothing different. I'm hoping that many of these events are going to be events that we're going to start to say, can I emulate what this person has done? Is this something that I want to take and now execute my own projects in the same way? There are, you know, many things. There are people that I'm watching with that. And when I say watching, I mean it in a friendly way. Individuals whom I listen to, I follow, I read their newsletters, I listen to their podcasts, I am paying attention to what they're doing because I'm looking at not just the info, but I'm looking at how they're presenting it. And just so I can sort of sharpen my own skills. And I think it's most important to think to, I guess, ourselves when we're attending any event, am I going to kind of come away with something new that I didn't know? Or, and in fact, a lot of times we see it, but we don't necessarily think that we can go and try and emulate it. And I guess it's how do you turn what you've heard into something that you can now do. And regardless of what your topic is. I'm excited to learn about individuals who are not just saying, hey, I'm researching my individuals from such and such county, Tennessee. They're going there. They're using other skills. When they can't travel, you can still travel online now. You know, Google Street View is a wonderful tool. You can walk right down the street and stare at a whole community right online, and it looks as if you're standing right in the middle of the street, and you can do that at home and, you know, in your pajamas, so to speak. But I think it's most important to think, is something going to be strategy rich for you? Get those tools that are going to help you do what you do better. It's always important for us to say, you know, and to come away with something new. Anyway, I'm going to stop. I really filled up this entire half hour with a lot of events, but there are a lot of events that are going on. You know, but choose them wisely. Certainly, I know you can't make them all because they're scattered around the country. But beyond that, I want to simply say that, you know, it's time maybe to look at what people are doing and to ask that extra question. Have I learned something new that I can now take back and put it into my research programs, my efforts to document my family history? And if you're finding something that has really gotten you stimulated, take it and apply it. There are things that I'm excited about, and I'm going to start to focus on some people, as I mentioned about a week or two ago, some people to follow and people you should know. And I'm probably going to start doing that in next week's podcast. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for being out there. You know, I appreciate you for being there. I appreciate hearing from you all as well. In the meantime, hey, stay busy. First of all, stay warm and safe. It is very, very frigid out there. But please continue to do what you do as well. And you know what that is. Keep researching. Keep documenting. And please keep sharing what you find. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.